Less than an hour ago, Israel unleashed another round of heavy fire on Gaza after air raids earlier today killed 42 people. I'm Aaron Nolan. That's our top story this hour on News Nation Prime.
And I'm Ruta Beshabazi. This is the single deadliest attack since the latest round of violence began. Global leaders increasing calls for immediate ceasefire and negotiations as the violence continues for the seventh day. In a televised address, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the nation will levy a heavy price, quote unquote, on Gaza's militant Hamas rulers, signaling the violence will continue. The fighting between Israel and Hamas surging to its worst level since 2014 over the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The United Nations convening an emergency meeting today to demand a stop to the civilian bloodshed and to begin negotiations toward real and lasting peace.
The current hostilities are utterly appalling. This latest round of violence only perpetuates the cycles of death, destruction, and despair, and pushes farther to the horizon any hopes of coexistence and peace. The only way forward is to return to negotiations with the goal of a two-state solution, leaving two states side by side in peace, security, and mutual recognition, with Jerusalem as the capital of both states, all based on relevant UN resolutions, international law, and prior agreements.
For more, I'm joined now by Stephen Zunes. He is a professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco. Welcome to Prime.
Good to be with you.
All right, well, the Palestinian authorities say the shelling of Israel has killed at least 197 people, including at least 58 children. At least 10 people in Israel have died from rocket attacks fired from Gaza. The UN, as you heard, calling on everyone involved to respect humanitarian law. What kind of international response do you expect following the UN Security Council meeting today?
It remains to be seen. Twice last week, the United Nations Security Council was ready to issue a very strong statement, a balanced statement, but one that was quite strong, demanding a ceasefire. 14 nations agreed to it, but the United States did not. The U.S. effectively blocked the statement from going forward. We don't know the details of what the U.S. objections were, but the United States is clearly an outlier in terms of the international community. Don't know about what's happened today, whether they're any closer to putting together some kind of statement or resolution towards ending the conflict. For now, it doesn't look very hopeful.
And the Biden administration, as you mentioned, standing by Israel, saying it has a right to defend itself. Progressive Democrats, though, are calling on the administration to do more to defend Palestinians. How important is the American position here in this conflict?
Well, certainly the majority of Americans, including progressive Democrats, as well as the UN Security Council, all believe that Israel has a right to defend itself. The question is that much of the Israeli military response, many people would argue, is excessive and go beyond the laws of war, breaking international law by targeting civilian areas with large-scale civilian casualties. Of course, Hamas has also been engaged in war crimes, and it's lobbing shells into Israel. What the United States seems to be trying to push the idea, however, is that it is Hamas, despite the one-sidedness of the conflict, that is primarily responsible. So most of the U.S. pressure has been in the Palestinian direction.
And today, the top editor for the Associated Press called for an independent investigation into Israel's bombing of its offices in Gaza, which leveled the building yesterday. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu defended the strike. He said that a warning was issued beforehand. Here's part of what he said. Let's take a listen.
Here's the intelligence we had. It's about Palestinian terrorist an intelligence office for the Palestinian terrorist organization housed in that building that plots and organizes the terror attacks against Israeli civilians. So it's a perfectly legitimate target.
And the Associated Press also released a statement when this happened saying the world will know less about what's happening in Gaza. What's your reaction?
I think that may have been the more accurate explanation about why the place was attacked. There's no way that Associated Press or Al Jazeera or the other international media offices located there would move into a building that was a Hamas an intelligence facility. Obviously, that would make it a target. And the journalists who were there, familiar with the building, said they saw absolutely no sign of any Hamas activity. So there are serious questions as to whether the Israeli explanation is accurate. But as the Associated Press director implied, what may have been the purpose was to limit media coverage of what's going on the ground there. And indeed, the destruction is huge. And perhaps the Israelis wanted less coverage of what was going on, especially within the civilian populated areas.
And we heard the ambassador there calling for a two-state solution. I know this is a very long answer for another day, perhaps, but do you see any possibility of a two-state solution coming from the violence that's happening now?
Certainly, this is just going to delay it. It's going to strengthen the hardliners on both sides. Both the Hamas and the Israeli government do not seem open to the idea of a viable two-state solution. The Palestine Authority, led by President Abbas and the Fatah party, do accept a two-state solution, but they are largely powerless in this in this endeavor, and they're not involved directly in the fighting right now. But it's very hard for both Palestinian and Israeli moderates right now to see this horrific violence going on, not just in terms of the human suffering, but it makes their desire for a two-state solution, for peace between Israelis and Palestinian, all the more elusive.
It is heartbreaking all around, no matter which way you look at it. Professor Zunes, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.